Today is all about a family celebration day at our church. And we are so glad that you're here. You know, the Bible talks to us a lot. From Genesis to Revelation, God wants us to celebrate. And today we have a lot to be thankful for, and we have a lot to celebrate about. And you know, actually, there's three celebrations that I can think of that take place. One, where we're celebrating what God is doing. We're not celebrating Rooted, you guys. We're celebrating what God has done in our church family's life. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what God has done. And we are so grateful and so thankful. And so the first praise that comes is we just give God. We're celebrating God. We're celebrating who God is. And there's another celebration that takes place that even in heaven right now, when one sinner turns from their life and follows Christ, it talks about the angels in heaven are actually celebrating. And so even right now in this day and what we're participating in and what you are getting to see this morning is there's angels in heaven around us in a supernatural cosmic realm that are celebrating what we're celebrating this morning. And then God is actually celebrating us as his people, as his children. He loves us. There's scriptures that are all throughout. I picked a few scriptures that would just kind of we'd highlight this morning. In Luke, it says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels even when one sinner repents. And so that celebration is happening right now. One of my favorite passages in the scripture is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It's a lesser known passage, but when you read this and when you kind of feel the weight of this, it's absolutely amazing. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is with us. When you've received the Holy Spirit, he's actually living inside of you, taking up residence in your body, the temple. It says, he is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. His love will calm all of our fears. And I love this. And I just want you to feel this. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So the God of the universe, the majestic, holy God of the universe, is singing you a love song. Isn't that amazing? That must be perfect pitch as well. I mean, we're talking about the God of the universe is singing a song to you. That is absolutely amazing to me to think that God loves us so much that he's written a song and he sings a song to us. In Psalm chapter 20, it says, may we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and we raise a banner. We raise a victory banner in the name of our God. That's what you guys were seeing just now. That's what you're participating in, and that you're an encouragement to our church family where we're shouting to God your victory. We're raising this banner up. This was the old self. This is now the new self and what God has done. And even in Habakkuk, you know, we went through a series. If you've been with us at River Run for a while, several months back, last year, we went through a series in Habakkuk. And during the culture in Habakkuk, there was this time where there was so much political unrest, economy unrest. There was a lot of sexual perversion, and there was a lot of violence and murder. And all the things that we can turn on the news right now and we see about the uncertainty of our day. And yet in Habakkuk, during this terrible season of this period of history, it says that, I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. So even while we're in this culture of uncertainty and where we are as a people and as a nation with continued violence around us, we still say, God, you are the God of our salvation. And this is what I want to get to on Celebration Sunday. When we say this, when we go, God, even if you did nothing else for us for the rest of our lives, even if you did nothing else, what you've already done on the cross is more than enough. It's more than enough. And then in Acts chapter 16, I'll give you a little bit of background about this passage here. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas had been in prison, not for doing a crime, but for preaching the gospel. So while they're in prison, though, they're having their own celebration Sunday, so to speak. They're singing praise. They're singing out praise to God. And God hears their prayers. And in the way that God does, causes an earthquake an earthquake to happen, and the chains fall off of the prisoners that are in there praising him. He is the ultimate chain breaker, church. And so Paul and Silas are there in the prison now, sitting there with the walls all crumbled around them. Their chains are broken. Their chains are unleashed from them, and they're sitting there, and the jailer does what any Roman jailer would do during this time. He was about to kill himself, because under the Roman penalty of a jailer who let an inmate escape, it was death. And so the jailer is about to kill himself when Paul says, no, wait, we're all here. We're still here. We're not going anywhere. This is a celebration. We're having a party here. And so they continue their songs of praise. And what happens is the jailer, the Philippian jailer, he falls to his knees and says, I want what you have. Who is this God of yours? And so Paul tells him about who Jesus Christ is. And then he goes back with his family, and his entire family give their lives to the Lord. This is what it said in Acts 16. He's brought them into his house. So this is after Paul and Silas had been there. He brings them back to his house, set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced. They had a party. They celebrated because they all believed in God. And then this is what I want for us as a church, as we say, they rejoice, all of us as a community of believers, they rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation, oh God. And we exalt you in all of your righteousness. Man, church, we were made to celebrate. We were made to celebrate God. You know, when I'm in circles of pastors, we'll be in circles of pastors, and there'll be kind of a common theme that comes up. And one pastor will, you know, they'll say, well, I don't think that we operate in our church by the power of the Holy Spirit enough. And I go, absolutely, I believe that too. And one of the things we're trying to do as a church, we are trying our best to allow the Holy Spirit to really guide and lead our entire church. One of the other areas that they say is that we don't disciple people very well. We haven't done a very good job in churches across our culture and across our area at taking one person and moving them from point A to point Z in their faith and in their walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do in every single way. That's what we're trying to do with Rooted. And it's not about Rooted itself. There's no new information inside of Rooted. It's just about us being intentional about discipleship and rooting ourselves deeply in Christ and who Jesus Christ is. And the third thing that I hear constantly is, as churches, we don't celebrate enough. We don't celebrate God enough. We don't celebrate what God has done. We don't celebrate the joy of our salvation. We just don't celebrate enough. Now, we celebrate as a culture, don't we? We celebrate as a culture. We start with New Year's Eve, kicking off the new year, kind of putting the old to past and celebrating what futures can come. But really, if you think about that, are we really celebrating God on that night? I'm going to speak in generalities here for a moment, but as a culture and for the most part, we're not really celebrating God. We're mostly celebrating alcohol and fireworks on that night. I mean, really, we are, you know. And then we move from that, and we move to like Martin Luther King Day. It's a great celebration. We're celebrating the civil rights movement. We're celebrating equality among people. It's a great celebration, but we're not really celebrating God there. We move from that to Valentine's Day. We're not really celebrating God, even though God is a God of love, but we're really celebrating the love of our husbands or wives or our boyfriends or our girlfriends, and then the huge marketing thing that goes along with that. And you know, I still get the chocolates and do all that too, but you know. And then we move from that to, this is like our holiday of celebration with Easter, but even that, even with Easter, where we come and celebrate, most of us come and celebrate the risen Savior on Easter, and that is a great celebration for us, but even the world has kind of come in and really made Easter bunnies and baskets and dyed colored eggs and getting all dressed up for, you know, and so it's not even always about God with that. And then we have Mom's Day, so we're really celebrating moms. It's not about celebrating God, really. It's about celebrating moms. All good stuff. We should celebrate moms. Absolutely, we should celebrate moms. And then we have Memorial Day, where we're not celebrating God there. We're just celebrating, you know, people that have paid their all, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can sit here in this place. And we should celebrate that. Absolutely, we should celebrate that. And then we have Dad's Day, which I think it's kind of a sweat under the carpet, you know, holiday. Dads get the raw deal most of the time on Father's Day, I think, you know. You guys agree with that, dads? I think we need to ramp that up for, you know, Father's Day a lot more, you know. And then we have July 4th, the original American Brexit, you know. where we broke off from England and we separated from them and we celebrate that independence. But that's not really about God. It's just about separation from England and Great Britain. And then we moved to Labor Day, which nobody really even knows why we celebrate Labor Day. It's just an extra holiday weekend. I'm just kidding. We all know why we celebrate Labor Day. That's where all the ladies come together on that one day to have children, you know. And so Labor Day. Then we move from Labor Day. I think we go all the way. I can't even think of another holiday. Then from Labor Day, we move all the way up to about Thanksgiving, where we celebrate the pilgrims and Native Americans coming together as one community. And then we've kind of turned it into a celebration of family and Thanksgiving. And we're really not always celebrating God there, although that's a little bit more. We can really kind of focus that one a little bit more on that. But really, we're kind of overstuffing ourselves with food and then praying for forgiveness later and trying to hit the gym. And then we move to Christmas, and we're celebrating the birth of Christ, but even the world has crept in and made it about Santa Claus, and it's a huge materialism type of holiday for us. And so as I look at this, I just kind of go, man, we do a lot of celebrating as a culture, but I don't think necessarily that we celebrate God that much in this. You know, we also celebrate birthdays, and we celebrate anniversaries for the people that are special to us. I think I would just go ahead and take this time to make a confession to you. So last week was my wife's birthday on July the 9th. I wasn't here. I was at the Rooted Retreat and teaching there and working really hard, difficult, slaving over that while you guys were here. And I think Tyler mentioned to this service that it was Michelle's birthday and July 9th. And so, and again, did I tell you how we were just so enthralled and entrenched in what was going on at Rooted? I came home and I just crashed and I totally forgot her birthday. 27 years we've been married. I forgot her birthday. And so now I'm going to go on and this is going to get worse. So on Monday, July the 10th, something came up about birthdays, or I saw something about birthdays, and I went, oh man, I forgot Michelle's birthday. So I said, I'm going to run down to the store real quick. I'll be back in a little bit. I was going to go to Winn-Dixie and just run down there and get a card, get some flowers. I was going to bring it back and like strategically position it in our house so she would think that it was already there and she just missed it, you know. It was pure deception. And I was going to just, and then I went to Winn-Dixie and I walked in. And wouldn't you know, ribeyes were on sale right there at the beginning. And I thought, oh, well, I might as well get some food while I'm here. And so I got a steak, a couple steaks, and I thought, well, now I get some salad, and I got some salad. Before long, food distracted me, and I went home, and I forgot the card, and forgot the flowers. I totally got distracted by food. Now, I've since made up for it, or I'm in the process of making it. This is part of my therapy and making up for this right now and confessing this to you. I'm actually going to take her out to a really fine restaurant tonight. We're going to Tijuana Flats, and I am going to be making this up. I am going to be making this up to her. But what it reminded me of is that how easily distracted we can be by what we want. How easily distracted we can be by food. It reminds me actually of John chapter 6 when Jesus had fed the 5,000 people. Most of us are probably familiar with that story where he feeds the 5,000 in this supernatural manner, and he feeds all these people, and then he preaches to them and teaches them, and then he gets in the boat and he crosses over to his home camp base in Capernaum. And while he's over there the next day, a large group of the people that had come to be fed were tracking him down. They actually got in boats and tracked over to Capernaum to follow him. When they got there, Jesus looks at him and says, you don't really want me. You just want my food. You just want what I have to offer. You don't really want me. And sometimes I think for us, as I look about celebration with God and I look about the culture of church and church itself, sometimes I think we're more interested in what God's going to do for me than we are about who God is and what he's already done for us. And I think it's real easy for us to get distracted by food and not celebrate the joy of our salvation and the joy of what God has done and the joy of transformed lives. I think it's easy for us to get distracted like that. So one of our main goals as a church, and I think this is important for all of us to know, there's really four groups. I can't think of more. There may be more than this, but there's at least four groups of people that make up every church in the country. First group of people are the unbelievers. These are the people that have not put their full trust and faith in Jesus Christ yet. For some reason, they're either holding on to something from their past, or for some reason, they just can't get over some of the miracles that happened in the Bible, or whatever it is. They are understanding the truth of God's word, and they're just kind of stuck in this unbelief area, and they're really still questioning. You still come to church, and we want you to. I'm telling you what, my heart beats for you guys, because there's nothing that excites me and motivates me and gives me more hope then when you finally get it and a light bulb goes off and you go, this is for real. What we're talking about here in God's word, this is for real. This is not just a made up, man-made religion thing. This is the God of the universe and a love story between God and man and redeeming man to God. This is for real. When you get that, we love it. That's what energizes us more than anything else. But there's that group of you here, and we want you to keep coming because we know that the more you hear the gospel message, that your faith will increase. That's biblical even. So there's that group. Then there's also the cultural Christians. And those are people that have been just kind of riding, I call it riding on the coattails of their parents' faith or maybe their grandparents' faith. They've never really experienced this life transformation of what God has done in them personally, in their own hearts and their own lives. And they've just kind of, I'm a Christian because, this is kind of a common sentence you'll hear, I'm a Christian because. I'm a Christian because my grandmother was a Christian. I'm a Christian because my mom and dad took me to church all the time. I'm a Christian because I know taking my kids to church will be important for them growing up and in their life. I'm a Christian because we're part of a Christian nation or we're a Christian nation or something about that Christian nation. And I'm a Christian because... So there's cultural Christians. I was a cultural Christian, you guys. I grew up as a cultural Christian. I was kind of stuck in an adolescence as a Christian, so to speak. I couldn't move beyond that because I was just kind of stuck. I was just going through the motions. I was just going to church because that's what I was supposed to do. And I was stuck as a cultural Christian. We want nothing more in our discipleship as a church and who we are and what we're trying to do. We want nothing more than to take you guys who you might say, I'm a cultural Christian. I don't know that I've ever had a defining moment where I feel like the Holy Spirit has taken residence in my life and I've had a salvation moment in my own heart and my own life. Maybe because of my parents, maybe because of my grandparents. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do. We want to do. We want to help you get unstuck. I'm telling you, I was there. I was there for a long time as a cultural Christian before I had my own faith, my own salvation from God and what he did in the Holy Spirit through me in my own heart. And that's what we want to do. We want to help you get unstuck. We want to help you move forward in that. The third group are the consumer Christians. Consumer Christians also make up a part of our church in the culture in America. And that group more would say things like, well, what's the church going to do for me? What's the church going to do for me? How's the church going to help me? I need help. How's the church going to help me? Or these are the people that will hop from church to church to church looking for the specific, just the right church. It's going to meet all their needs. Well, this one has a children's program that I like really well, so this will be the church for me. Oh, the children's program is not as good as it used to be, so now I'm going to go over here and find this church. Or this church over here has a funny pastor or, you know, a sexy bald pastor. I'm going to go to this church or this, you know. And so whatever it is, and so what's the church going to do for me? This is the one, you'll hear this too, where I don't think I'm getting fed. Well, pick up your fork, eat. And so, that's consumer Christians. So what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? We want to help you move from the unbeliever to the cultural Christian, from the consumer Christian to being a Christ follower. What's a Christ follower? Christ follower goes, I have no life. My life is completely surrendered to Jesus Christ. Everything about me is all about Christ. It's all about what I'm going to be pouring out in my praise and my celebration and my service to him. Where he says to go is where I go. What he says to give is what I give. Where he says I'm going to serve is what I'm going to serve. Everything about my life is all about Christ. My job, my kids, my family, my wife, my family, my parents, everything. Everything in my life is all centered around Christ. It's not a Sunday come to meeting thing and going back home and waiting until the next Sunday come to meeting thing. That's not it. It's every day. It's a lived out faith. And that's what we want to do. And this has never been about rooted, just so you know. This has never been about rooted. We're just using rooted as a tool to help you move forward in your faith. And we've just found a way that we've been very, very intentional about focusing on Christ and focusing on Christ and focusing on Christ to help all of us who are stuck help us get unstuck in our Christian walk. And what you've gotten to participate in today and what you've got to see today is you've gotten to see about 40 people who got unstuck. And so we're celebrating what God is doing in their lives today. And that's a part of our family. It's a part of our responsibility as Christ followers. It's a part of our responsibility as a church to help them stay unstuck and keep them moving in their Christian life. And we're going to do this 3 times a year. So even if you haven't had an opportunity to do this, you haven't had an opportunity, or the season's not been right for you to go through Rooted, we're going to keep doing this. And we want you, the season, to be just right for you. We want you to go through this and join with us on this. And we'll be doing the next one the week after Labor Day, the famous holiday celebration, remember? We're going to do it starting the week after Labor Day, and we'll start that, and it'll go up through November. That'll be our next one that we do. And it is very intense, it's very intentional, and we're rooting ourselves in Christ. Well, now, what we're going to do is I'm going to call Shauna up, and we're going to kind of give a charge, and a celebration charge. Can we raise the house lights up just one more notch? And I'm going to ask all the Rooted graduates to come up, and if you guys will line across the front here, and we're going to give them a charge, and we want you to be behind them, church, in this charge that we're going to give to them. And then also, what I want to ask is, so all of you just come on up here, line across the front. If you've already gone through Rooted, if you're a Rooted alumni, would you come up front, and would you lay hands on them as well? Would you come on up front this morning, and would you lay hands on them? That's awesome. Okay, come on up to the front. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Shauna.
Okay, awesome. Let me just start by saying there is just nothing more fun than what we did today, right? Celebrating transformed lives, getting to witness new life in Christ. Talk about celebration. So I'm so glad you guys are here to be a part of this. Before we go any further, though, I want to just take a moment to recognize some people that have really poured out. Our facilitators, what our facilitators turn out, or just raise your hand, they're in the gray shirts. These are people who went through Rooted themselves, were so impacted by the journey that they set apart 12 weeks of their lives to sacrificially pour into others, to shepherd them through this amazing journey. So 12 weeks ago, the people you see up front here, your graduates, showed up at our launch lunch and stepped into a journey, and a lot of it by faith, and began meeting together weekly in their groups. They gathered for a prayer experience where they encountered God. They went out and served in their community and encountered a community in new and fresh ways that just woke their hearts up to the gifts that God has given them and the purpose that he's called them to. They learned what their story is in Jesus and how to share that with others. And they set apart a weekend where they went to and just came before God, drew close to him, put it all out in front of him, experienced transformation, healing, new life. It's an awesome and a privileged journey to watch this unfold. So I know there's so much that you guys don't get to see behind the scenes, and we're all happy to tell our stories to you afterwards. But what you see in front of you is an amazing result of the work of Jesus in people's hearts. And it really is all about giving him honor and glory and praise. So last weekend, our facilitators anointed all of our graduates into ministry, and these graduates received, each of them, and accepted a 6-month ministry internship, and they are now stepping off out of the chair. Some of them were already out of the chair, but maybe further out of the chair and into serving Christ with every aspect of their lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to commission them. They've been commissioned already. They're going to be commissioned in front of you. And part of this is your commissioning as well and your part in their journey. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand. And go ahead and extend your hands out over our graduates here. And then graduates, I'm going to read and I'm going to ask that you respond, "I will." So based upon everything you know and have experienced through your Rooted journey, will you continue to spend the rest of your lives exploring and growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ so that your roots will continue to grow down into him and your lives are built upon him? Will you continue in community through a missional neighborhood group so that others may consistently find encouragement to keep pursuing Jesus and his work in their lives? Will you allow for others in your group to encourage you in your pursuit of an ever closer relationship with Jesus Christ and his work in your life?
I will.
Will you, through where you live, work, worship, play, go to school, will you continue to learn and explore how God has created you to accomplish his desire that every man, woman, and child sees, hears, and responds to Jesus Christ's life-changing message through you?
I will.
Now, congregation, this is my charge to you, and I'm going to ask that you respond, I will, or we will. For those of you who are witnesses to the oath these Rooted graduates just made, will you continue to encourage them to stay connected with Christ, his community, and purpose for their lives?
We will.
So we, the pastors, elders, staff, with all the Rooted alumni, commit you to the discipleship of our Lord and commission you to leverage all aspects of your life as an opportunity to learn about him, to learn from him, and to be used by him for the love and benefit of all the people in your life. So, Father, we just thank you, and we just affirm and confirm this commissioning that you have called your people into. Lord, we ask that you would anoint them by the power of the Holy Spirit to step into this divine purpose. Lord, that they would use everything in their lives to be connected to you, connected to community, connected to the church, and connected to your divine purpose. Mm-hmm. Father, we just pray all of this in the name and upon the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.